Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Okay, I know that's terrible. Listen, I just want to really encourage you this morning in the Lord and in the Word. And part of what I'm going to be speaking about is hugely passionate within my own life and has been a journey, because I want to talk about what it means to worship in spirit and in truth. I want to talk about a kingdom culture a little bit, and to let you know and let your friends know, let everyone know that we are going to continually point this ministry and hopefully this region to understand what it means to live in a kingdom culture. And by saying that, it's something that has to be cultivated. It's something that is a process. It's something that you have to say yes to, that you desire to have the kingdom culture within your life. And I will tell you this, that everything in hell wants to stand against it. The enemy does not want you to cultivate a life of seeking first the kingdom and allowing each and every day that kingdom to have its way within your life. There's no doubt about it. And so I want to encourage you in that way to cultivate that. Dave Ramer spoke about a greenhouse effect that I believe is part of who we are also, that it takes time sometimes to cultivate this lifestyle and to walk this out. And I put down on my sheet of paper here, cultivate, 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 meaning don't stop. Keep cultivating that lifestyle. You may have setbacks. You may have a week where you just, man, you had an amazing week in the presence of God, and then all of a sudden something happens or you get discouraged. And I have to say that what Londa spoke about when she shared about a river, that God wants you to get you into this river of freedom, that is absolutely 110% right on, 100% right, because of the fact of this. This Friday night, I had this almost, it was an amazing dream. I won't go into it, but in that dream, I ended up in a river that was in the tree of life, and I knew that that's exactly what God was doing and bringing us to a place of freedom. And so I'll share probably later on as I begin to pray about that and understand it more and get more people to help me to interpret that. But God wants us to be in the place of freedom. Part of that freedom has to do with our worship. If our worship is bound, we're not able to walk in the freedom that God has for us. And God wants us to be free to worship. So I'm going to be talking about what that means. If you look in the Hebrew, sometimes the definition of worship in the Hebrew, there's many different definitions of praise. But the definition of worship is found to bow down or to fall down, to show reverence to something, to a God. Hopefully that's what they're speaking about. And in the Greek, it's to kiss the hand and show reverence to God. And so in the Greek, it speaks about that. Then I found this definition in the Old English, which I in a modern translation, and I like this, of worship. Matter of fact, it was interpreted from a word that meant worship, and it was written out worth-ship, that it was worth-ship, meaning that you were worshiping something that is worthy to be worshiped, worthy to be worshiped. And so that's where I want to encourage us to understand that because he is worthy is why we worship him. And what does it really mean to worship in spirit and in truth? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The reason I'm so adamant about the house of prayer, or really any group that gathers together continuously before the Lord, is because they're creating a culture that they can begin to cultivate that worship heart before God. It's not just on Sunday or Tuesday. This culture has to be activated in your life on a daily basis. That's what God is wanting you to live in, to abide in. And so to think that we can live without worship is absolutely insanity. We cannot live without worshiping the one who is worthy. And so many things happen in the midst of our worship. And that's why I encourage you to be a part of the house of prayer. We find these definitions, and we consider the heart of worship and what it truly is. I got to say that it's more than just bowing. It's more than kneeling. It's more than just raising your hand. It's more than dancing, although that's part of it. But worship first and foremost is an inward heart reality of who God is and how worthy He is in your life. We can have worship. Doing a worship song is not worship because it's just a song. But if it's more than a song and it comes from an inward reality that you have about who He is, it's no longer just something you do. It's something that you are on the inside. And you can begin to worship Him. Your heart begins to cry out about His goodness, His worthiness, and the truth of who He is. So it's an inward reality. And this inward reality flows from a revelation of who God is. He's touched your heart. He's moved your heart. You've positioned yourself to be touched by God by sometimes bowing or kneeling or being in that humble position. But you have allowed yourself to cultivate a position in your life that God now can speak to your heart and just transition you into the place of divine worship. And divine worship comes from your heart. It doesn't come just from your mind. It doesn't come just from your actions. It comes from the inward reality of who Jesus is. And that's why even when we come on Sunday morning, it's so important that we just don't, you know, sing the songs in our head. I mean, it's great declaration and proclamation, but it has to be more than that. We have to allow our hearts to begin to engage. You are so worthy. You are so good. I cannot believe what You've done for me. My family, I cannot believe that You have set up a kingdom that's coming, that is going to rule and reign on the earth, the hope of glory. I cannot believe this action plan that You put in place called the Word of the Lord. I cannot believe after all the things I've done, You accept me right where I am. Worship is not a bunch of religious talk. It's not. You can say all the religious phrases you want to say, but worship is the inward position of your heart. And matter of fact, when your heart gets so engaged in the place of worship and being before Him, all of a sudden different language comes out of your heart because you become to be fascinated with who He is. And you can't even imagine and believe how much He loves you. There is a battle over your worship. All worship isn't just for Jesus. In Revelation chapter 13, it says they worship the beast. Worship can be worship of a lot of things. It can be worship of yourself. It can be worship of religion. It can be worship of people. It can be worship of money. That we, oh man, this really gratifies my heart to have all this money. God is saying to you and He's saying to me, do away with it. Do away with it and find the one where your heart skips a beat and you begin to worship Him and you begin to weep and you know how He loves you. He just clears the way for you. He clears the way for you. He clears the highway for you so you can walk in freedom because that's who He is. And it happens in the place of worship. Worship is not just dancing to dance and to draw attention to yourself, or shouting to shout to draw attention to yourself, to be noticed. Worship is from the inward reality that causes you to begin to move your feet and begin to shout and to say, yes, Lord, I love You. This is the worship God is asking of you as an offering, a beautiful offering before Him, an inward reality. By seeing His worth and His worthiness. Look at Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 8 through 10. This is Jesus. And He came and took the book or the scrolls out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, the Father. And when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down. That is the form of worship. Fell down before the Lamb, Jesus, each one holding a harp. He was definitely playing. These angels were playing music. And golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are a worship unto the Lord. They gratify Him. He moves because of our prayers. This is the uncreated One who created everything. And He desires worship from His bride. Because And some people might say, well, wow, man, he's just really focused on him. No, he knows when we worship him what it does on the inside of us and how it blesses us and moves us into our destiny and purpose and calling, because now we're worshipers in spirit and in truth. The truth of the revelation of who God is. Pretty powerful. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with the blood of men and every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. God has made a way for us to be a kingdom of priests. In the Old Testament, in the Moses day, only the priests could go in on the Day of Atonement. Could go into the presence of the Lord. High priest could only go in once a year, and he's made you and I priests before him to experience his presence always. And David set it in motion with the tabernacle, because with David at the end of the age, David set it in motion completely at a different phase of time. This heavenly worship in heaven, and God gave it to him. David was a man after God's own heart, and he gave him the direct instructions and set up the tabernacle of David. And now the tabernacle of David doesn't have one priest that can go into the presence of God. The tabernacle of David has Jews and Gentiles experiencing the presence of the Lord. It was that's how it was set up. That's how he's setting it up now, because all over the earth. Andy and Mary Collins and Eric and Felicia just came back from Jerusalem, Israel, and they were in the house of prayer in Jerusalem, looking out onto the Mount of Olives, worshiping God. There's houses of prayer all over the earth right now. According to Isaiah 42 that you've heard me quote, that the song of the Lord begins to arise all over the earth, in the valleys, in the mountains. I say it over and over. I cannot never say it enough, because it stirs my heart to know that God is being, the love song that Betsy began to sing, that love song is being sung all over the earth, and Jews and Gentiles, every tribe, every tongue, every man, every woman, young and old, are able to come into the presence of the living God. That's something to be excited about. Woo! Something to be excited about, real excited about. Means a lot. It's an inward reality, revelation. So Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10, is also an eternal reality. It's setting things up, and you need to think about that, what it means, because it's setting us up, because we're going to be worshiping forever Jesus. The knowledge of God. When we begin to grow in the knowledge of God, the Word of God, when we begin to grow in the knowledge of God and the Word of the Lord, we begin to be more of those that worship Him because of who He is. It's the revelation that comes of the worth of who Jesus is, the Father and the Son. You respond. Many times we respond by worshiping, by bowing, and that's good, by singing, by laying on the floor, by dancing, by clapping hands. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to raise your hands. People have been saying that forever. But you know what? It makes it wonderful when you raise your hands out of a posture that is your heart engaging God and saying, you are holy. I worship you and you alone. You are. You are. You've done it. You've made a way for me. Raising the hands is good. And when we do that, when we worship Him in spirit and truth, what it does, it releases an aroma. It releases a fragrance, a beautiful fragrance. You know, just because of your worship, people sometimes instantaneously can get healed. Because of your worship, demons can be driven out. Because of your worship, the enemy can't have his way for you, with you, because of where you are in your worship with God. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing to worship. The incense, again, is the outward expression of worship. But here's the key. Here's a key phrase. I wish I would have put it up on the screen, Laura. I didn't get this one down. The fragrance, the incense, the aroma that comes, it only comes and it only exists Because there is oil. There is oil. It only exists because there's oil. If you're just singing, you're just singing. But if the fragrance is moved because there's oil in your lamp, the oil of intimacy, God has new language for you. God has new songs for you. This is not to be repetition. This is to be fresh and new continuously. There are songs that haven't been sung yet by many of you in this room. Remember what I said? I won't talk about Denny at all, but I was sharing about Denny. It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. The most beautiful song can come out of you. And if somebody's got a problem with how you sing and how you're singing, it's between them and God. Okay? You sing. You let him sing through you and in you. So we can have an aroma if we have oil. The spikenard didn't fill the room with Mary if it wasn't for the oil. That fragrance didn't fill the room if it wasn't for the oil that was broken and spilled out. The outward expression by itself isn't worship at all. That's a hard word. But you know what? That's a trap for many people. I know it's been a trap for me. If I can look like I'm really worshiping and enjoying it, I might be okay. And God said, no. I don't want to play drums just to play drums. I want to play drums to wage war. I want to play drums to move in a prophetic stream that has freedom to go places to engage the enemy and run him out of a place. To break through and to let Jesus know just how much we're warring and we're loving him. I love warring in the drums. The oil needs to be present. Outward expression definitely does give us an understanding that the oil is there if it's genuine and real. So it's going to come out. That shouldn't put anybody on hold, okay? That should just put us on a focus that I want my heart to sing. I want my heart to dance. I told Sue Anna I got to dance. I ain't released it yet, but I'm going to. I told her about it. I used to do it down by the cross at the pond when nobody was around. We had a few neighbors move away from that area, but because I forgot how it echoed through the canyon, so to speak. But there's a dance that I knew that was my war dance, and that was my time of worship. And I hope before my last breath I can do my war dance often. And that's my desire to be free, okay? My desire to be free in him. Again, the reality of worship is one's life. It's a heart reality. And I put down here, it's an oil reality. And then in John, I just want to read that because it's just so good, real quick. I think it's John 12. It's John 12, verse 3. It says, this is so beautiful. And it's kind of bizarre worship, you know. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. That's what happens when we worship. It's a beautiful, beautiful fragrance is released in spirit and in truth. So I may say that authentic worship really begins in the place of the heart. Now, I believe that sometimes when we're caught up doing other things, God understands. He loves us. It's that should never, ever cross your mind that God's going to condemn you because you don't worship where you need. No, he every effort he appreciates. But his heart wants you to get in your heart so the two can become one. That's what he wants for you in worship. It's an inward reality first, followed by an outward expression. That's worship. Matthew 14:33, pulled that scripture out. Many of you, I won't go through the whole story, but many of you know that story. It's when Jesus approaches the disciples on the boat. There's a storm, and he comes walking on the water. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him. It was an outward expression saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What was that? That was an inward revelation. They got an inward revelation that truly he is the Son of God. And they began and they worshiped him. That's where worship begins also within our lives. In that inward revelation of his word and that he is exactly who he says he is. Again, I want to encourage people that want to worship, want to press in and go to those places. That's good stuff. But if we're going to see the manifest presence of the glory of God happening, it's going to have to be that we are bound together in authentic worship. We're in the place of unity, and we're crying out in unity and believing that God's going to come. And it's those hungry, hungry, passionate, lovesick men and women, young and old, that go after him. And then he begins to show up in powerful ways in our midst. For those of you starting in ministry, or I tell you this, I've been with him and without him, and his presence, with it and without it. And I can tell you this, it is no fun doing ministry without the presence of God in your life. Because it's real quick to get into your so-called talents and use those instead of the passion that comes from being with him in a secret place with him. Can I get an amen on that one? I knew I'd get a good one on that. I don't say that too often anymore because, you know, you got to get a good one if you're going to say that. True worship of the heart, again, it's really attributing to the worth of God and worth of who he is. Again, it's reflections of that beauty that's inside of you. And one of the terms that I wrote down was an effortless expression. It gets so beautiful when it's effortless. I've had times in the prayer room and times in worship where all of a sudden I know the river's flowing out of me and it's effortless and it's just beautiful. I want to make you hungry for that more. I want to make myself more hungry for that. The tabernacle of David, when I talked a little bit about that, that is a prophetic view of what's happening eternally. I said that earlier. I talked about David, a man after God's own heart. And I believe that he got that inward revelation because he was hungry. He was in love. And God showed him the tabernacle in heaven. And he built the tabernacle of David. He sought God. And this was his way of life. And it was a divine order. I want you to also know this, that there's a divine order to worship. And you can find that in the Bible. It's very clear, that divine order. And that means sometimes people will try to do different things, and I won't go into those details right now, but David basically gave that to us in the scripture in 1 Chronicles. And so today, God is raising up the tabernacle of David again all over the earth. And it's just not, as I said, in one location. It's everywhere. And this is a progressive work that's coming together in worship and government. I believe it's going to be full and final expression when Jesus is here on the earth and he's seated in Jerusalem. David was called the greater son. In Acts 15, many of you know this. We'll go there real quick. Acts 15, 16 and 17. Where's it at? After these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. The tabernacle of David and the house of prayer is for everyone. It's not just for singers and musicians. It's for everyone to come in and be before the Lord. And I want to encourage you that this is a movement of God at the end of the age, and it's happening all over the earth. It's a pattern that God is setting into motion. And we know that it's authentic. And you remember how, as I said earlier, they had to do sacrifices of animals for the priest to go in for Moses. And they kept those sacrifices, but then in Psalm 51, David gets this revelation, and he says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it to you. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. That is so, so good. And no longer the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, has already been spilled. It has already been done. No longer do you have to go through some animal sacrifice to enter into the presence of the living God. No longer. Our covenant is our relationship with Him. So God is opening up our eyes to divine worship. And I believe that He's going to keep doing that as the days continue, to divine worship and opening up our eyes to this intimacy and authentic worship. Oh, the lady at the well. I love the lady at the well. She's there at the well. This is when that scripture is used about worshiping in spirit and truth. The lady at the well, and many of you know the story, but she's there at 12 noon. Why is she there at noon? Because she's ashamed. And she doesn't want anybody to see her getting water. And Jesus goes out of His way, and He's there waiting for her. And she comes to get water, and He speaks about the living water. And then He said, and He know, first of all, He's not even supposed to be associating with the Samaritan woman. And He says to her about the living water. She says something to Him, and then He says, you said that rightly, because you've been married 5 times and you're living with somebody right now. Married 5 times, living with somebody, that's 6. And Jesus was talking about the living water because He wanted to be her bridegroom conquering king. He wanted her as His bride, being the 7th one. There we go. So He gives her this water. She has an inward revelation of who He is. She leaves the water. She doesn't even take it with her. She jumps up, the woman of shame. She jumps up and she runs to the city. And she tells everyone about Him. The first missionary sent out. Married 5 times, living with somebody. That doesn't fly too much today, does it? But she had an inward revelation, and God used her greatly. That's the living water. She worshiped. And He said, the time's already here that you're going to worship Me in spirit and in truth. There's so much more to that story. But the fact is, when she went to the city, what did she do? She was proclaiming who He was. She had a revelation of Jesus. She had living water, and she couldn't keep her mouth shut, and it caused people to come and see. That's worship in spirit and truth. It's an inward reality. It's awesome to hear that. The Father is seeking, it says also in John chapter 4, the Father is seeking true worshipers. I'm going to have the worship team come all the way back up, because we're going to close just in a song. If I can get the worship team to come back up for a moment, I'm closing up here. As I said earlier, playing worship songs doesn't really describe worshiping in the spirit and truth. Sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with worship. Jesus said, they give Me their mouth and lip service, but their heart is far from Me. It's in Matthew 15 if you want to read it. Their heart is far from Me, and in vain they worship Me. In vain they worship Me. So to worship in spirit, write this down if you need to. To worship in spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon you. Listen, if you want to worship, you know, and sometimes when we come back, man, I don't know, I just can't get into worship. That is a real bogus phrase. I just can't get into it. You know, it's bogus. You know, or how many have been part of a service where the worship leader was leading and he was really trying to get everybody hyped up, and because they didn't, he said that they, or she said that they, you know, they weren't with God. How does he know they're not with God? You know, because somebody can be having an explosion going. I was sitting there real calm a few minutes ago, and God was like speaking to me after Rhonda shared something. I just started hearing the Lord, and I wasn't jumping up and down. I wasn't doing my war dance. But I was having a time with Jesus. I was having a time. So it comes in many different manifestations, but it has to be an inward reality of who He is. So when the Holy Spirit is moving upon us to worship in spirit, you need to understand that you're redeemed by the Spirit. The power of God is living within you. And when the Holy Spirit is causing this authentic flow of love, that's what it's talking about by worshiping in spirit and in truth. The spirit within you is beginning to just flow out of you because of how much you love him and who he is and all that he's done for you. It's adoration, it's devotion, and it's a fragrance and it ascends. So when the Holy Spirit, when you're in union with the Holy Spirit in you and you're allowing that to happen, and sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in the room to stir that up so that you will do that. God's on the inside, but he's also on the outside in the midst of the people, in the midst of the room as we worship. I want you to have expectation of worship services that cause you to dance and fall out. To have worship services that begin your heart to cry out where you can't keep your mouth shut about who Jesus is wherever you go. That's how we need to worship so that, man, this isn't just for here. No, This is the kingdom culture lifestyle to be a worshiper every day of your life, every moment, cultivating it. And if somebody else isn't doing it, you know, part of the justice of God in the house of prayer is for evangelism to go out into the streets. A lot of times people don't understand that they're out. This doesn't mean to condemn or anything, but this is a concern I've always had with myself and others. And what is it that, okay, salvation is the blast, man, the explosion. And we want to lead people. We want to share the gospel of Christ everywhere we go. It shouldn't be just here or there. It's everywhere we go if we get an opportunity. It's an explosion that takes place. It's the open door. But my thought was always, and you know, I'm not saying that we've been the best at this, but my thought was always like, well, what kind of culture do they begin to walk in after they get saved? Do they walk into a religious culture that beats them back down? Or do they walk into a place of freedom that frees them up and that they can, you know that who they are in Christ, I don't care what you think of me because of who I am in Christ. I've thought about that. Then I thought about our counseling and our healing and how essential it is for freedom to come and to open people up and to get their minds renewed to understand Christ. And it's good to have that, but after they're, I experienced this, I'm sure you guys have too, but after they've gotten healed and this big major breakthrough, and 6 months later, they're in the same place again. And I'm going, okay, what was that? This is kind of what I think. I'm not saying it's 100% true, but I think it has to do with the culture of their own environment within their own home. And within the people that they fellowship with and the people that they're around, if they don't create a culture, a kingdom culture, the enemy is going to work overtime to make them not a testimony anymore, but an embarrassment. So that's why I'm going to continually, till he comes back, keep pointing people that it is all about Jesus, and wherever you are is to create a kingdom culture. That's why I feel good about going to the camp for a season or however long till he comes back and establishing the house of prayer. Because to establish more of a culture again that we hang out. Next Sunday when we get together and eat together and have a little preaching and baby dedication, you know what? Let's hang out together. I'll take anybody in here. Ed, on and horseshoes. We'll play some horseshoes. You know, let's just hang out together and be together. The kingdom is not about you looking in the back of someone's head right now that's sitting in front of you. It's not about that. It's about getting to know people and creating a culture so that when people get saved, when the healing takes place, boom, now they have a culture and environment. Because it doesn't break a facilitator or somebody that's moving in healing or evangelist. It doesn't break their heart anymore to see that individual that they were with, that God did something amazing, and all of a sudden they're back in the same trash. I think it has a lot to do with kingdom culture. That's what we need, to seek first the kingdom. We need to make sure that that culture is in our home. More and more, more and more. Okay, I said I was closing. I got on a little soapbox there. I haven't been on one in a while. Felt good. To worship in truth, okay, I said the worship in spirit, what it means. To worship in truth is to express the love in the authentic way from your heart and remaining true to God's word and his divine order of worship. You worship within the truth of who he is and his word. We can sing his word. We can do all kinds of things. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. God wants you to release your song. In the spirit, it might be singing in tongues. You know, it might be just singing the outflow of your heart, or you just might be singing a song. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Why don't you stand, please? In closing, I wanted them to do this song again. And the reason why I wanted them to do it was because this song was birthed out of, it was Matt Redman, right, wrote the song. Matt Redman wrote this song, and it was birthed because people were worshiping. They did away with all their guitars, all their instruments, and they stood in a circle and did a cappella for a while, or tried to. And all of a sudden, this song was birthed out of that. And they were hit strongly with the presence of God. So as I close the revelation of His worth and His beauty, the revelation of His worth and beauty is what brings about authentic worship within your life and in your soul. You combine that with the knowledge of who He is, the revelation of truth, and it goes through the roof. You begin to understand. We overcome in worship. And you know what? When you start worshiping, there's no, it's the old saying, no holes barred. Okay? Listen, you can do anything. When you begin to worship and He affirms who you are, and you're telling Him this is who you are. No, this is how I love you. No, this is how I love you. And that begins to happen. You can do anything, any place, anywhere, anytime. So let's worship this song. Let's sing this song to the Lord. Okay? And then if you feel called, just shift right now into that river of freedom. You feel free to come forward and be up here in the front. We'll pray for you.
I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that would bless your heart. When the music fades, yeah. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. The way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
In the first word, no one could express how much you deserve.
I'm sorry, Lord.
Lord, I ask for a breakthrough in our hearts to worship you. I ask for a reality of your truth. God, break in even now, God, with us here. And may the fire of worship begin to arise within our hearts, that we would burn for you. God, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus against the enemy's strategies to keep us from this place. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my brothers and my sisters, that freedom would break out in their song. Freedom would break out in their worship. Freedom would break out in their intimacy with you, God. Freedom would break out in the place of gathering oil in your presence, Lord. Let it increase. Let it become so authentic and real and genuine that we couldn't even go without the fuel of being with you, the fuel of oneness, the fuel of worship, the fuel of intimacy. And I'm asking, and in agreement with who's ever in agreement with me here in this room, that a fragrance would rise from this house of prayer, that a fragrance would rise, that healing would take place in the lives of your people, and that a breakthrough kingdom culture would begin to flow in the river of freedom. I thank you, God. I thank you for all the singers and musicians and intercessors and gifted folks, the pastors, the teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets, and all those, God, that have been called to make up the body of Christ. I thank you for the freedom that's coming to this region, the freedom that's coming to this house, the freedom that's coming in the families. God, that this love song would overwhelm men in their homes, husbands-to-be, and wives, God. That we no longer would dabble in this sickness of the lust of sin, but God, that we would elevate our hearts to the place of worship, of the revelation of who you are, Jesus, the King of glory, the beautiful one, the Lamb who was slain, the morning star. God, let worship and rejoicing begin to happen while we're driving, while we're in our homes, God. Let the song of the Lord burst out from our hearts. Thank you for the men and the women that are here, the passionate ones that are here, God, that love you. And let them ride, God. Let them ride on the war horse of freedom. Let them ride, God, on the war horse that you have planned for them. That greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That we are overcomers in the powerful name of Jesus. I ask God for counseling sessions to break out wherever, because you're the wonderful counselor, God. That you begin to download your truth to them. God, that you would facilitate your truths. An army, God, that worship you and proclaim your truths and live in your truths. Line them up, God. Line them up in perfect unity with you in the tree of life. And let them keep saying yes. Proclaiming your goodness and your mercy. Victory belongs to you. And you are living inside of us. Let us be a people that worship in the Spirit and truth, God. It is now here and it's moving across the land, God. Fresh wind blow. Fresh wind blow. Do away with the doubting. Do away with the doubting in this body, God, and in this region. Let the bride arise in the spirit and the humility and the love of God. Let the love of God increase in Michiana, in every church, in every ministry. We say no to yes to Jesus. We say no to the Jezebel spirit. We say yes to Jesus. And the kingdom culture of God to have its way in our lives. Yes. For our children and our grandchildren. A generation of your return. Musicians that hear your voice and play unto you. We don't worry about tomorrow because you have it. You've got it. We don't worry about tomorrow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. Sing that with one voice with them. Sing it. Victory.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
Yes.
Victory belongs to him.
Victory belongs to Jesus. King of glory. The bright morning star. The rose of Sharon. The beginning and the end. It all belongs to him. Our families. We're taking back those that have went astray. We're calling them back to Jesus. We're calling them back to an authentic worship. We're calling them back to healing. We will not doubt about our children anymore. We proclaim victory over our kids. We proclaim truth over our kids. We proclaim the love of Jesus over our children, that they're coming back to know him and not religion. We say yes and freedom to our children and grandchildren. Yes, God. Generation of overcomers. A generation of worshipers in spirit and in truth. A generation that's learned to live in the river of the tree of life. We say yes. And Lord, we take this moment to pray for all those that have been critical of ministries and churches. We ask that you would strengthen them and help them to know your love and to speak love
and to live in love. Help them. And God, help us not to respond to that, but to live in the place of your freedom and your love, God. We thank you. We thank you that the fire of your Spirit is going to invade the streets of Elkhart and Goshen and Napanee and South Bend and Mishawaka. We thank you for it, God. We thank you. Broaden the horizons of those men and women in the faith to know that love is first above everything else, so that we can love the way you've called us to love, to facilitate what you've called us to do. We love you, Jesus. We give you glory. And we believe that today was a day of freedom, a day of reckoning, a day of shifting. Because we agree with your word. We just love you. Now bless everyone, God. Be with them over this time and over this this holiday that we have. God, keep them safe. Keep their eyes on you. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit. Amen. Victory. Come on, let that ring out.